Today we're talking about overcoming regret. Overcoming regret. All of us have different things in our lives that we look back on and we regret greatly. Sometimes we have regrets with dates that we wish we would have never gone on. Okay, we're going to take a little survey today. How many of us have been on a date that we regret? Okay, at least a few of us. Okay, Stacy right back there. Are you seeing anybody right now? Oh, you are? Okay, good for you. Okay, great. I didn't know that. Okay. Well, I just thought I might kind of, well, never mind. That's another issue. There's marriages that we wish we would have never committed to. We have regrets in the area of marriage. Financial decisions we wish we would have never made. Maybe we spent too much or we didn't invest at the right opportunity. And we look back and we think, oh, man, I wish that I had done something differently with my money. We took jobs that we wish we would have never taken, or even said things that we wish we would have never said. Sometimes we say things and we think, if I could just take back the words. You know, I've done that before, and I do that from time to time. I say something, and then I'm trying to pull the words back into my mouth, but it's too late, isn't it? And sometimes we say things that we wish that we would not have said. Sometimes we speak up when we should be quiet, and other times we are quiet at times we should have spoken up. We live with all of these different regrets. Some of us had kids earlier in life and we wish we'd have had them later. And then others of us had kids later in life and we wish we would have had kids earlier. Sometimes we wish we just had other people's kids, you know? Life is full of so many regrets. There's places we wish we would have never gone, people we wish we would have never met, commitments we wish we would have never made, business choices we wish we would have never committed to. And the question is, how do we begin to put our regrets in perspective? How do we begin to deal with the regrets of our lives? If we made it a prerequisite for you to come to church, that you could have no regrets, this place would be an empty building today, wouldn't it? That's why one of our mottos at the Edge Church is, no perfect people allowed. Because we know that life is difficult, and sometimes we deal with regrets. But here's the great news. God has a plan for you to overcome the regrets that hold you captive, the things that hold you back, the things that keep you from becoming the person that God so badly wants you to become. And today we want to download a couple of powerful truths from the book of Romans in dealing with this subject matter of overcoming regret. We say things like, I woulda, I shoulda, I coulda. That's right. Very good. Some of you are kind of slow today. Time change got the best of you. By the way, I changed my clock and I still overslept. And some of you did that too. That's why you're at 11 o'clock. Amen. Amen. Or we say things like, if only I had fill in the blank, whatever it may be. And that's the language of regret. The psalmist said it this way in Psalm 38. David said, my guilt overwhelms me. It is a burden too heavy to bear. My wounds fester and stink because of my foolish sins. I am bent over and racked with pain. All day long, I walk around filled with grief. A raging fever burns within me, and my health is broken. I am so exhausted and completely crushed. My groans come from an anguished heart. Man, you want to talk about regret? Read the 38th Psalm. David is giving us the raw and the real details about how he really felt. And have you ever felt that way? You know, in times in life, we all feel a little bit the same as Psalm 38, don't we? You know, regret is like a disease that spreads quickly and we have to fight it. And here's what God's Word says to us today. First of all, if we're going to overcome regret, we have to live our new identity. Okay, we have to live our new identity. God has given you a new identity in Jesus Christ. Every follower of Jesus has a new identity. Notice Romans chapter 8, 1. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. We have no condemnation because we are in Christ. Now, the moment that we cross the threshold of faith and follow Jesus, the Bible says there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ. Now, there's really two references that the Bible speaks of humanity in. One is people that are in Christ, followers of Jesus, and the other is those that are in Adam. And what is in Adam and what is in Christ? Well, if you go back to the Garden of Eden in the early pages of the book of Genesis, you find that God told Adam and Eve, the first human beings, you can do whatever you want, you can go wherever you want to go, you can do whatever you'd like to do in the Garden of Eden. There's just one rule. Don't eat of the forbidden tree. And what do you think Adam and Eve did? Their curiosity got the best of them. They were tempted. They were drawn away from the call of God. And they decided to go and to eat of that forbidden fruit. And the result of that was that sin entered into humanity. We are born with a nature to do our own thing. And by the way, if you don't believe me, just parent some preschoolers. All right? You don't have to teach little kids to disobey, do you? I mean, it is just so natural. It just comes just with being 2 or 3 years old, 4 years old. And I hear, and I don't know this for sure, but I hear it doesn't change a lot as kids get a little bit older. But we all have this desire to do our own thing. The Bible says we are in Adam. Every person is in Adam until they find themselves following Jesus. And then their life changes because now they're in Christ. And we find ourselves living a life in Christ when we realize that Jesus Christ died on a cross and rose from the grave in order that we could receive forgiveness and new life. The Bible says when that happens, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. In other words, all of your sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven. Now that is exciting news. I mean, that should motivate us like nothing else, man. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. We need to live our new identity. Now, here's the problem. We have an identity crisis. In Christ, we are accepted, not rejected. We have new desires, new passions, new attitudes, new perspectives, new strength, new vitality, new all kinds of things. But the problem is this, we have an identity crisis. The identity crisis is when we try and live like we're in Adam, but in reality we are in Christ. We are conflicted. We have an identity crisis. We have an identity problem. The credit card company called Gina several weeks ago. They said, "Hey, have you bought anything for $7 in Minnesota?" Gina said, "I'm not sure that I even know where Minnesota is, you know? That sounds really cold, you know? Haven't been to Minnesota before." They said, "Well, interestingly enough, somebody bought something for $7. $7 in Minnesota. And somehow we deduced that somebody had gotten our credit card number. Somebody was trying to be us. They were trying to be somebody that they were not." Now, if you're going to steal somebody's credit card, please put at least several hundred dollars of purchases on that, okay? I mean, you know, $7, that's like 2 lattes at Starbucks. I mean, come on. You know, at least put something on it, you know. Go out to have a nice meal or do something, I guess. But this person had stolen our identity. Listen, some of us today are living under the wrong identity. We are living under condemnation. We are living under guilt. We are living under regret. And yet, Jesus Christ died in order to set us free from all of that. So we need to live the new identity. Don't live like who you used to be. Don't live like who you were. Live like who you are and who you're becoming. Live the new identity. We have this crisis. Wouldn't life be great if we could go back in time knowing all that you know now? It would be awesome. We could go back and redo so many decisions, and we would all have a long list of things that we would go back and I would say this differently and I would go there and I would do this in a different manner. And all that's cool and that makes great movies, but listen, that's not reality. How does God want us to begin to overcome these feelings of regret? Live the new identity. You can't change the past, but you can change the present and the future. And see, the Christian life is lived in the present and the future because as long as you're focused on your past, you will live lives of condemnation, lives of inferiority, lives of misery, lives of heartache and struggle. But when we begin to focus on the here and the now and who God wants me to become today, then it begins to set us free. Jesus Christ pushed the delete button on all of our sins, past, present, and future. So why are you struggling with so much regret? Now, Romans 8 says this, we are in Christ. In other words, Christ is in us. Christ is not just beside us, that would be cool. Christ is not just above us, that would be cool. Christ is not just around us, that would be cool too. But even more than all that, Christ is in us. He is with us. He is empowering us. He is strengthening us. You are in Christ once you make that faith commitment to Him. It's cool to think, yeah, Jesus is somewhere over there. Jesus is beside me keeping score. No. Man, He is in you. He is in you. So we need to live the new identity. And I see times in my past where I wasn't confident enough. God had called me or given me an opportunity to do something, and I just didn't believe that I could quite pull it off. You know, maybe you felt that way before. And I look back and I think, I could have totally done that. I could have accomplished that goal. I could have made that decision. I could have completed that task. I just didn't believe that I could. And so, one of my great challenges is to live with greater confidence in Jesus Christ. And I believe that in this room, that God wants to do something greater in your life than you really believe that He could. God has a greater plan for you. God has a greater plan for your marriage than you believe. God has a greater plan for your ministry than you believe that He does. God has a greater plan for your career. God has a greater plan for your family. God has a greater plan for your life than maybe we could even imagine today. Because He is an amazing God. But listen, if we're going to tap into that, we've got to be able to put the past behind us and to live in the now and the future. Live the new identity. In the Bible, when people's identity was changed, they often had a name change. Abram received the name Abraham. He was to be the father of a great nation, Abraham. The funny thing was he had no children. Funny how that works. God changed all that. Jacob, name was changed to Israel. In Genesis 32, one of the great passages of life change and the new identity is found there in Genesis 32. The angel of the Lord comes to Jacob, and you know the first thing he says to him? Jacob, what is your name? What is your name? And you think, well, how could the angel not know Jacob's name? How could the angel not know Jacob's name? I mean, he's the angel of the Lord. When you read the passage, what you discover, it wasn't that the angel didn't know Jacob's name. It was that God was changing the identity of Jacob. See, Jacob meant heel grabber, deceiver, manipulator. And the angel was telling him, listen, you used to be a deceiver. You used to be a manipulator. In fact, that's all of his life up to this point. He was always working behind the scenes, trying to steal and rip people off and trick and whatever. But he says, listen, now your name is going to be Israel. You have a new identity, meaning that you have struggled with God. In the New Testament, the same concept is seen. The Apostle Paul, formerly known as Saul of Tarsus, is a murderer of Christians. He's running around taking the lives of the early church. And he finds himself on the Damascus Road with an encounter with Jesus Christ, and there his name was changed. Why was his name changed? Because he had a new identity. He wasn't the same person. He was formerly Saul of Tarsus, the murderer of the early church. Now he's the Apostle Paul, traveling the world, telling the good news of Jesus. He was a new person. He was a new person. In more modern times, we see name changes in our own culture. I don't know if Ron Artest is a Christian or not. The famous NBA basketball player a few years ago, he got into a fight. Not with the players of the other team, but with the fans. He was the guy. Did you guys see that on ESPN? He's like this huge monster, 6'10", power forward type guy. He's up in the stands beating up this little 150-pound little guy, you know? I mean, he went crazy on the fans. It was big news. Ron Artest. When you hear the name Ron Artest, the first image that comes to most people's mind, if you're a basketball fan, is the guy that beats up the fans. That's not good. That's not nice. Okay? Ron Artest was traded to another team. He decided to change his name. He now goes by the coolest name in the NBA, Meta World Peace. You guys heard about that? Meta World Peace. I'm not sure where he came up with that. He said that he wanted to be known as a person of peace. Meta World Peace. The back of his jersey says World Peace on the back of it, you know? There's nothing like it. That really is his name, Meta World Peace. Pretty funny, isn't it? Pretty interesting. I think that Ron Artest realized that he didn't want to live the same way. He wanted to be a different person. And the way to really receive and to identify and to create this new identity that he had, a person of world peace, not the person that beats up people in the stand, is to change his name. Now listen, I know you may not change your name, but I hope that you do change your identity. I hope that the old person that you used to be is not who you're becoming. I hope that as you move forward in faith, Romans 8:1, understanding there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ, that you will live out what it means to be in Christ and not in Adam. In Christ and not in Adam. What is done in the past is done. We have to focus on the present and the future. And great athletes have to do this all the time. Peyton Manning was in town talking to the Broncos. Is he going to be here or not next season? It's going to be very interesting, isn't it? But I guarantee you, wherever Peyton Manning is playing football next year, he's going to have to forget the fact that he was the quarterback that was cut by the Indianapolis Colts. Because if he goes into the game this coming season thinking of himself as the quarterback that was rejected, he will have a terrible season. But if he thinks of himself in a different light, in a new light, he will see himself as a Super Bowl champion and an MVP. And he'll have a season according to that. See, we have to have a selective memory in the Christian life. A little amnesia is a good thing in your spiritual life today. You're going to look back on times in your life and you're going to look back and say, man, I don't even know that person. I'm not even the same man. I'm not the same woman. I'm so different. Christ has changed me and I live in Christ now and the power of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I don't even recognize that person. And you know what? That's all good. Our life should be that way. Because when we are in Christ, we are changed. We are transformed. Now, here's what the evil one wants to do. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 tells us that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He's the one that wants to whisper in your ear and tell you that you are a nobody. That you'll never succeed, you'll never be the woman or the man of God that God's called you to be, and that you're undeserving of anything that you have, and that you have zero potential. And so he whispers things in our ears like, if you were really a Christian, you wouldn't do that. If you were really a Christian, you know, you wouldn't feel that way. And by the way, you can't serve in a ministry at church because you've done this, that, and the other. He's the one that likes to take a big green highlighter and highlight all of the faux pas and all the mistakes in our lives and then to shove that in our face and remind us of all of those different things. That's who he is. That's why 2 Corinthians 5:17 is so important. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. In other words, we can overcome regret because in Christ we are a new person. We are a new creation. We're not the same. In Christ, we are no longer a sinner. We are a saint. The old person was condemned, but the new person has come alive. In Christ, we used to be a sinner, and now we are a saint. We used to be a liar, an alcoholic, a sex addict. But now, you're redeemed. You may still struggle in some of those areas, but that's not who you are. Because you are in Christ. You have a new identity. And listen, to really put the regret and the past behind us, we have to embrace and to understand who we are in Jesus Christ. Can you imagine what it would be like to be free from all guilt and feelings of inadequacy and inferiority? That's the life that God wants you to live. And we wonder today, why do we not have more joy? Why do we not have more zest for life? Why are we not more excited about the future? It's because we live lives dominated by regret. The key to applying all of these things in our new identity is simply to walk according to the Spirit. You see, here's the question. Ryan, that's cool. I want to live in Christ, but how am I going to do that? But sounds great. I want to put regret behind me. How does that work? The power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, apart from the power of the Holy Spirit, the Christian life is not just difficult, it's impossible. You cannot do it. And here's the problem. A lot of people try to get supernatural results out of their lives by natural means. From time to time, I talk to people and they say, Ryan, I tried the whole Christian thing, tried the whole Jesus thing, and that didn't work for me. If you think that being a Christian is trying to be a better person and to put more self-effort into your relationships and into your life, apart from the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, you have dead religion. You will have frustration. You will have anxiety. And life will be awful. You see, the Holy Spirit is the one that empowers us to live the life that we so much desire. We question, how can I live according to the Bible, and how can I live out the teachings of Jesus? You can't do it by yourself. That's why at the moment of salvation, the Spirit of God comes into our lives, and so our goal is to let the Spirit of God lead us and direct us in such a way that we have supernatural power. That's the only way you can live the new identity. The apostle said it this way in Romans 8:5, those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on that which nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. And the mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. We all want a life filled with peace. The Holy Spirit is the one that allows us the strength and the vitality to overcome regret. Without Him, it is impossible. It's impossible to do that. And here this passage, Romans 8, 5 and 6, is really speaking about our mind. We think at first glance that the Bible is saying when we're controlled by the Spirit, then we'll be able to change our thinking. But notice what it really says. Paul's saying that in order to be controlled by the Spirit, the first we have to think about the things that please the Spirit. If we will change our thinking, the Spirit of God will empower it. Sometimes we sit around just saying, I wish that God would change me. You know? The Bible says, get your mind in order and the Spirit of God will give you the strength to follow through and to do so. Are you relying on yourself to conquer regret, or the supernatural power that is available for every believer by the Spirit? We have to retrain our brain. We have to think a different way. Listen, for most of us, our whole lives, we've lived lives of regret. We've lived lives of condemnation. Maybe our parents told us that, or our friends or relatives, or maybe we've just thought that ourselves for whatever reason. If you're going to live a life of freedom and you're going to overcome regret, you have to change your mind. You have to change your way of thinking. That's why Romans 8, 13 and 14 says, therefore, if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit, you will put to death the misdeeds of the body and you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. We have to begin to think as the sons of God. As those that are in Christ, not those that are in Adam and in the world. Now, the Spirit gives us victory. He shows us new insights. He gives us new spiritual strength. He does so many things in the life of the believer. There's a spirit cycle. and there is Satan's cycle. And here's how Satan's cycle goes, because it ties so directly into regret. Here's what he does. We sin, the Holy Spirit convicts us, and then we repent. That's the spirit cycle. Okay, that's the way it should work, right? We turn against God, the Holy Spirit taps us on the shoulder, hey man, you shouldn't have said that, done that, thought that, felt that way, whatever. Okay, God, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Boom, I go on. That's the spirit cycle. That's the new life. That's in Christ. Okay? But here's the way many of us live. We live by Satan's cycle. It's different. We sin, we feel shame, we feel like God doesn't love us, then we keep sinning and feel condemned. And we wonder, why am I so miserable? You know? It's because the same cycle keeps going over and over and over again, because we don't want to change. We don't want to change our thinking. We don't want to change our attitude. What God wants us to do is to get in tune with the spirit cycle. We sin. The Holy Spirit convicts us of that. We turn away from that, turn our hearts back to God. We put the past behind us and we keep moving. That's what God's plan is for your life. So some of us today are caught up in the Satan's cycle, where we keep wondering, why do I keep sinning? And why do I keep feeling miserable and guilty about all this stuff? God wants us to change. We got to change our mind. We got to change our thinking. Now, what does the Spirit say that we should do? One is we should confess our sins regularly to God. You know, when we confess sins, we're not telling God things that He doesn't know. What we're doing is we're reconciling the broken relationship. That's why confession's important. We make amends where possible, okay? If we've offended people or whatever, we want to do everything we can to make amends. And then we follow the Spirit's guiding constantly. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will lead us to say things or to do things or go places or to give things or to do other things like that. And that's from God. And when the Spirit impresses us to do that, then we want to respond accordingly, okay? Ask for forgiveness and make amends and follow the Spirit's guidings. And when you walk in the Holy Spirit, you'll be focused on the present and the future, not on the past. See, people that live lives dominated by regret are always looking over their shoulder, always saying, woulda, shoulda, coulda, if only I had. And it leads to frustration and it leads to so many difficulties. Man, God doesn't want you to live that way. God wants you to live the life of freedom that comes in Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit. That really is it. And overcoming regret is an ongoing battle. I mean, this is something that we have to deal with every single day. If overcoming regret was easy, then we probably would not be talking about it this morning. The Bible would not speak to it. It's difficult. It's a challenge. We need to keep in touch with 2 Corinthians 10:5. It says, we demolish arguments and every pretense that sets itself against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. So we got to change our mind, change our thinking. We got to begin to think of ourselves as the person that's in Christ. When we begin to think of ourselves differently, we take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Some things do not belong in our minds. And when regret comes into your mind, push it out. So that's not who I am. That's not what I'm about. I'm a new creation. And then we feel stress and pain and regret. But when we walk in the power of the Spirit, life change begins to really happen. So we need the Spirit of God to direct us, to lead us, to give us comfort, to give us direction, and that sense of hope. God wants us to leave the house of blues. God does not want us to live under the bondage, under the weight of regret. But we have to make the decision to live in Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, because there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? God, today we want to just come before you this morning asking you to heal our broken hearts, to set us free from areas of bondage, to teach us, God, in the areas that we need to grow. God, in this room, in the quietness of this time, speak to our hearts, God. Show us what it means to follow you. Convict us where we've been wrong and transform us in areas where we need to mature in our faith. That really is our desire. And while our heads are still bowed and our eyes are still closed, there are those of us today that have never made the spiritual connection to really become a child of God. As I've talked about life in Christ, you realize, man, I don't have life in Christ. I've never committed my life to Christ. I've never followed Jesus. And today I want to give you that opportunity to do so. Your expression of faith will be the greatest decision that you have ever made. And in this prayer, you're going to be asking Christ to come into your life, to heal you, to change you, to make you different, and to give you hope for the future. Would you pray with me in the quietness of this room? Say, Lord, today, please forgive me of my sins. Please make me different, God. I'm putting my faith in Jesus and what He did at the cross and the resurrection in order that I may receive new life in You. And now, Lord, help me to walk with You all the days of my life. And we pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.